I'm Steve Horner, the composer for One Small Step.
And I'm Andrew Chesworth, one of the two directors of One Small Step.
Welcome to The Annotator, where composers share their thoughts and stories about their original scores. This is episode 59, where composer Steve Horner talks about his original score for the animated short, One Small Step. This is Christopher Coleman, and you can find all episodes of this podcast at theannotator.net. Los Angeles-based multi-award-winning composer Steve Horner writes and produces exceptional music in a diverse array of forms and genres. His music has been heard in film trailers for Paramount, Lionsgate, Relativity Media, and Netflix. And he's also created custom music and sound design for Verizon, Intel, Nokia, Boeing, NBC Universal, Target, AMC Theaters, Best Buy, Activision, and many others. He recently created the score for the animated short, One Small Step, which just finished an impressive award-winning festival run, including two for Best Original Score. One Small Step is an animated short from Tyco Studios, co-written and co-directed by Andrew Chesworth and Bobby Pontias. The animated short is about a young Chinese-American girl, Luna, who dreams of becoming an astronaut. From the day she witnesses a rocket launching into space on TV, Luna is driven to reach for the stars. In the big city, Luna lives with her loving father, Chu, who supports her with a humble shoe repair business he runs out of his garage. As Luna grows up, she enters college, facing adversity of all kinds in pursuit of her dreams. One Small Step has already received 29 festival awards and 2 grand jury awards and 69 official selections. In this episode, composer Steve Horner and co-director Andrew Chesworth talk about One Small Step, their third collaborative effort for an animated short. They discuss their sources of inspiration for the music, like Disney's animated features of the 1930s and 40s, and their goals for the short, and how important setting those goals were to the entire process. They also discuss how much more important the score becomes for this short, which has almost no dialogue, and why and how they chose not to score certain moments in the short.
Steve and I have collaborated on many projects together. We did a short film that was a 2D animated film noir called Palm Springs. We did another animated short called Wild West, and a lot of those had more caricatured, cartoony sensibilities. And then this one, we got to play in a more cinematic landscape. And yet, a lot of the things I really admire about Steve's work, his versatility, his talent for melodic scoring, and then mixing and arranging in a variety of genres and styles, all of that came into this film, and the film really benefited from it. And it was an absolute delight to see the maturity in the work and in our collaborative relationship.
That does speak to the value of something like that. It isn't like Andrew and I just were plopped in a room together cold. We did have that history, and I knew his sensibilities, and he knew my sensibilities. And so it does allow you, I think, to go even further. Each time you do a project, you can go further and further with it, and it becomes, it's truly a collaborative thing. And it's this score is something uniquely Andrew and I created together. It's not something I would have created in a vacuum. It wouldn't have been what it was without Andrew, you know, feeding back and us sitting in the room together and just listening over and over and kind of feeling it on our own. So, yeah, then that was a cool, really cool aspect of this project that we got to take and go even further and go into some more subtle details than we ever have on any other project. So,
yeah, in some ways it was more elaborate, and in other ways it was much more simple. And I think it's because there was such an emotional directness to the goal in the storytelling that we knew when we had to be very simple and very concise, or very big and very very detailed in the mix.
Exactly. One Small Step was truly a unique project for me because of the process that Andrew and I went through to create the score. And Andrew, go ahead and lay out how that went.
We were really inspired by the way the Walt Disney Studio in the 1930s and 1940s scored their movies. Frank Churchill was a very famous composer at the Disney Studio at that time, and he was in what they called the music room with the animation supervisors who directed the sequences in the early Walt Disney films. And the composer was involved very early in the story process. They would all sit together, plan out a sequence together, come up with melodies and motifs that might create a signature for that scene in the film. And we wanted to bring that kind of timeless, very integrated audiovisual sensibility to the short film.
Which is great for me because normally when I'm scoring something, I'm coming in at the, you know, towards the end of the project and I'm scoring picture, which there was some of that here, but for me to be allowed to throw some ideas out there and to score some things and know that the animators could actually be adjusting animation or animating to the music that I was creating added another layer of just expanding the voice that I could have with the project.
It created a lot of connectivity between what you were seeing and what you were hearing. We wanted the music to be a really strong voice in the film, to give it a timeless sentimentality, but also because it's a pantomime film with no dialogue, having that extra presence in there was just one more tool in the storytelling. The presence of the music gave it a lot of heart when the character was feeling something passionate, and then the absence of the music later created, you felt the absence of it when the character was going through a sense of loss.
And it was definitely a highly melodic score. And I think just because of the nature of the fact that it, or because of the fact that it was music, the music played a really prominent role, and it was the voice of the characters, literally at times, because there was no dialogue. So the music actually kind of played a bit more of a dialogue type of a role, which meant that it had to be more melodic than maybe just underscore.
Yeah, and some of that is taste too. I'm a big fan of classical melodic film scoring, and the way they did it in the classic Disney films to me is a big signature of why those films are so magical. And we wanted to get anything we could from that way of creating the music into our film.
So the film starts off with sound design. The sound design is hugely important in this film since it's sound design music and very little dialogue.
Yeah, we wanted to begin with sound only just to ground the film and give it a sense of reality before the music comes in and we start to experience the hopes and dreams of our main character.
So right here in this scene, we're introducing the main theme. And we can call it Luna's theme, but it's also the father's theme, and they share a theme, which to us was perfect because this is a life shared between Luna and her dad, and
absolutely,
that's the whole point of the film is to show that amazing connection between Luna and Chu.
He's sort of represented by a cello, and she's represented by the bells and the keyboard. We were inspired by both the Disney films by Frank Churchill and Peter and the Wolf, just to kind of give each character a signature with the fairy tale charm.
Now this section, this is where the key really takes off, literally. It's an imagination section, so we brought in some more electronic elements. So there was just a slight touch of Luna's world, and there's a little bit of a video game-esque feel to it, but we kept it, you know, pretty orchestral as well. But this is really the only place in the film where some of those electronic elements are introduced.
Yeah, sort of once upon a time with a little bit of a child's frenetic creativity.
Yeah, that's
and
a good
when
way
you
to
wish upon
at.
A star, all right. Of those things. And then this whole sequence, this montage coming up, was really inspired by. There's our Hall of the Mountain King reference there.
Yeah.
This whole sequence was really inspired by the work of Gershwin, George Gershwin, and a lot of his themes that tap into the feeling of a frenetic life in the big city and the ups and downs of daily life within that lifestyle.
And another thing that is kind of interesting about this scene is that time is passing throughout this whole scene, and Luna's growing up. And what we wanted to do is make sure that the instrumentation reflected that. It got a bit more complex. There was a little, the sounds that we were using started to shift a little bit into a more adult thing for Luna. Dad's sounds don't change. He's always the cello. that never changes, and that's what we anchor on.
That's true. Dad. That's a great point. His signature remains constant, and her signature grows and evolves throughout the film.
That's true, yeah.
What?
Yeah, a little. One thing that I loved about this film is that we were scoring very tight to action. Little musical ideas and flourishes were hitting action very tightly, and I love being able to do that.
It's worth pointing out the timing of this montage is so carefully considered, and we would storyboard the sequences, have Steve take a pass at the rhythm, and then we would go back and make adjustments to both timing and visuals. It was a back-and-forth conversation throughout the whole film, and I would say this montage of growing up and going to school is the one we iterated on the most.
Yeah, it was a really critical, musical thing, because it was one cue, but it went through so many transitions, and it was a lot of growth that happened throughout that cue.
Now the music is gone. She's lost both her dream, and then coming up in a moment here, she's also lost her support system.
Right. And we had a long discussion about, do we put music in here? And we realized that it's just as important where you don't have music as it is where you do. And we wanted to just create this sense of loss. And when you lose something, the music really does stop.
Absolutely.
And it's that life just, it feels that way. It just feels that everything has stopped. And so we wanted to really create a visceral sense of that in this section.
It's the first time since the first shot in the film where we see the city street, where all we hear is ambient sound design, right? We see the moment where Luna's dream is sparked, and then music immediately enters the story, and this is the first time that the music is absent again.
Right. We still had sound design, which took over the role, really, of helping to tell the story. It was prominent.
And we considered the sound design to a slightly musical degree. I mean, there's certain beats and timings in the scenes that, as sounds are introduced, there's still, I don't want to say a musical tempo to it, but things are placed to fill gaps.
Absolutely. Now, a very carefully subtle reintroduction of the music.
Yeah, the saturation comes back into her spirit.
Right. Now the theme enters again. It's her father, because that's his voice. The cello is his voice. And then Luna's is on top as a child, because we're thinking back. She's recalling her early life. Ah, now things are taking off.
Sort of a mature and steady interpretation of the theme. Little hints of the bells, because she remembers where she's been, but
right.
The more gentle, sophisticated take on it. Graduation theme there.
Yeah, I think that's the first time we heard the brass and the big orchestra enter.
Yeah, we wanted it to feel like a graduation. And then here we pull the music out just to create a sense of suspense. Sort of the music is holding its breath just like the character. And then it expresses a sigh of relief.
And now here we are at the dream being realized.
I remember the conversation about this sequence early on. Intimate and vast was what we wanted.
Yeah. That's right.
Here we go from really big to very, very, very intimate here.
Because she has this beautiful moment of seeing her dream realized and knowing in her gut how that all came about with her father being so supportive of her.
All she can think about is the people who supported her to get here.
Right. And there it is.
And the end credit theme here is actually an early pass Steve took at just finding the theme, and we found that original cue inside of our project archive and thought we should just use this for the end credits. It's beautiful. Thanks for listening.
Yes, thanks. There it is.
It's a pleasure talking about this with you, Steve.
Absolutely.
I really, really enjoyed this whole creative process with you.
Yeah, it was definitely an exceptional project for me to work on, and I'm looking forward to more.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Annotator with composer Steve Horner and his original score for the animated short, One Small Step. The original score was released on November 8th, 2018, and you can find it on Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, and Apple Music. You can find out more and hear more music by Steve Horner at his official site, hornermusic.com, or you can follow him on Twitter at hornermusic. The Annotator is produced by me, Christopher Coleman, and you can find more episodes at theannotator.net, or you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcasts, or Radio Public. Wherever you do listen, please leave us a rating or review, and if you know someone you think might enjoy The Annotator, please tell them about the show. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Audio Annotator, or on Facebook at The Annotator, or send us your feedback via email to theannotatorpodcast@gmail.com.